regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm no whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. And these are the voices, and these are the lies, and I have been
Church. We welcome you in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit which gathers us here in these moments. We're in the midst of summer, if you haven't noticed by the typical thunderstorms yesterday or heavy downpours yesterday and the humidity, and yet we are called to gather for worship. And on this Independence Day weekend, we offer a special greeting and blessing to you as we gather in the midst of the freedom that we have as a people and as a nation. I want to lift up, I see Stan's here. We understand through your update yesterday, Nancy has been moved to a regular room following her cardiac procedure, Harrisburg Hospital, and we're hoping she's able to go home tomorrow, or if not tomorrow, Tuesday, but she continues to progress well. So we're grateful for that. Lift her in prayers along with the other prayers that are listed in the prayer box here. And we'll come to a time of prayer a little later in our worship service. As we gather this day, we have a video I'd like to share as part of our Independence Day weekend and upcoming celebration on Tuesday. And then we'll join together in a call to worship, and I'll invite you to rise for that. You may remain seated for this, and then we'll worship God in song as we gather today. Let's take a look at this video. ask God's healing on our land, our nation, and his world as his spirit comes to us individually and together in Christ. I invite you to rise as able as we join in our worship call and then join our voices together in song and praise of God. With glad and grateful hearts,
and with thanksgiving overflowing from sea to shining sea,
we gather this day to sing a song of praise to God.
For our country, for those who risk so much, for an idea, for a cause far greater than themselves.
We gather this day to raise a prayer for God's world.
Indeed.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He has trampled out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. An altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day. Was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free while God is marching on.
We thank you this day for the way you have blessed each one of us, the way you have blessed our church, and Father, for the way you have blessed our nation. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy, and for those who have fought so hard to earn it and preserve it. But Father, we thank you most of all for the freedom that we have in you through our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Freedom that we have to come directly to you in prayer, in praise, and in relationship. And so, Father, we celebrate that freedom this morning. We thank you for the ability to gather together in worship, the the freedom to simply raise our voices and know that we will not suffer persecution from our government. Father, we thank you this morning for all the blessings that you've given us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. To move into our time of prayer this morning, and we invite you during the singing of the prayer chorus to bring those prayer cards forward. Anything that joy, concern, any praise that you have, and just bring them forward and place them on the altar. We don't have any prayer blankets this morning, so I guess that's a good thing that there aren't any great new needs from our congregation and our community that have been brought to us yet. But we certainly pray for those around us. Let's go to God in prayer.
They wept, the morning sun was dead, the Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him.
God, as we gather, we celebrate the aliveness that we can have in, and your Son in Christ and by your Holy Spirit's presence. You've gathered us, Lord. A lot of times we think we've gathered, but you've gathered us. You established your church. You gave us the pathway to salvation, the opportunity, the door to respond to your gift of yourself made known in Jesus. That our lives might glorify you, that the ministries of this faith community might glorify you, that your world might return to you as your own. As we're gathered this day, Lord, we thank you for the gift of freedom you give us in Christ. Free from our sin, free to overcome sin and all that would separate us from you. Save us from reducing sin to just those external acts, Lord, and help us to see that you desire that anything that separates us, our thinking, our views, the way we handle the gifts you've given us, our attitudes, our inaction, that all of that can be a chasm of separation from you and your perfect will. So, Lord, as we worship this day, we not only invite and ask, but we expect your Holy Spirit to be speaking to us from the beginning moments of our gathering. Lord, we need you to help open our minds and our hearts that we might be ever more aware of when you're seeking to speak personally to us and together as a body. Lord, your will be done. And your kingdom, let it begin with us. Lord, we lift up your world, the division and the anxiety and the evil that is present in so many ways, in word and deed, in tolerating injustice, hunger and pain. Lord, give us hearts that ache for what your heart breaks for. And we pray an anointing upon your holy church, gathered this day regardless of nation or ethnicity or tongue, united under the mighty cross that proclaims you can help us overcome, for you have overcome sin and the grave. We pray for the persecuted church, for those who risk their standing in their culture, with their family, their employment, and even life because they speak the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray safe travels upon our youth as they come back from the Creation Festival today. We pray for pastors in the United Methodist Church throughout the nation, especially here in the Susquehanna Conference, those that are beginning new appointments today, going among strangers to be their pastor. We pray that you would encourage them in the difficult times of transition and grieving the loss of the faith communities they leave and the friendships they walk away from in order to serve you in new places. We pray for the leaders and all those gathered in those faith communities that they would see their clergy as children of God and that they would envelop them in grace and hospitality and that together they would forge a way forward to be the church, the faith community that you call them to be. And Lord, we ask the same in this continuing pastorate here for this faith community. Awaken us, encourage us, help us to see the ministry opportunities you have right before us in our everyday, ordinary lives. Speak to our hearts, Lord, that we might open our lives for the world. In the resurrected name of Jesus, we are bold to pray. Let us offer for the ministries of Christ here and beyond our connection, God's tithes and our offerings.
All the way my Savior leads me, who am I to ask beside? How could I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? All the way my Savior leads me, and cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You lead me, keep me from falling. You carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of His love, oh, the sureness of His promise, in the triumph Spirit clothed in mortal, wings its flight to realms of day. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the
grateful as always for the gift of music and for each member of the praise team and their dedication, their investment of time and their talents in praise of God. Our scripture today is from Luke chapter 24. It's the walk to Emmaus scripture, and today we're privileged and blessed to have Eric Houston and Jason Gardner with us. In a little bit, fairly shortly, they'll be coming and sharing. They were two of four men here at Aldersgate that were part of an Emmaus walk retreat that began on a Thursday evening and continued through a good part of Sunday back in May. And we've asked Eric and Jason if they would be willing to share their experience of the living Christ encountering them in the midst of that weekend and that ministry. Aldersgate has many ministries by which God seeks to grow us, connect us, stretch us. And one of those that we have here within house is our What's Up Wednesday ministry and our Faith Growth Studies. And you should be seeing something in the next 2 weeks on those to start looking at for September intentional gatherings as God seeks to stretch and grow us. This scripture from Luke 24, beginning with verse 13, begins on the day of resurrection. Sometime later in the day, after Jesus had appeared to Mary and been celebrated as risen, later that day, Jesus encounters two walking on the road from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. I invite you to open your ears and your hearts to the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. I'm going to ask you to join your voices in this reading, the final portion, as Jesus is made known to them. Would you continue lifting your voices? "As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead of us as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11, their companions, gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Let us pray. Lord God, in these moments, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us to do what Jesus' presence did to Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus. Encounter, to awaken, to warm our hearts, to give us a bigger vision and understanding of who you are and how you work. We pray specifically this moment that your Holy Spirit would be with Eric and Jason as they share. We thank you, Lord, for Bill Brandemore and your Spirit stirring in him a year ago to envision Aldersgate underwriting men of this faith community being part of the Emmaus walk and journey experience. And for Eric and Jason saying yes, along with Joe Prow and Todd Kressler. In these moments, Lord, we know you meet us. We know you seek to speak to us. Give us ears to hear and a heart that yearns to listen. Amen. The walk to Emmaus is one of the great resurrection stories. They're walking along talking about Jesus. Literally, their mouths are full of Jesus. They're talking about what happened to him. Their mouths are overflowing with the Jesus story. And he comes among them and they are oblivious that it's him there. The Emmaus walk journey is our journey. We know he's risen. We've heard the reports. We know the stories. And a lot of times our mouths are full of Jesus and of God, but we're oblivious to the Holy Spirit's presence right there in those moments to speak to us. This passage is a reminder that it's important for us to participate in the disciplines of a relationship with God. Think about your relationships and disciplines that are essential. It's important to check in. It's important to spend time. It's important to be quiet in the presence of those that you're in relationship with. It's important to work hard at listening. Cleopas, and I believe, I looked this up the other day and I didn't write it down, but I believe my recollection's correct. The name Cleopas means to the Father's glory. Walking on the road to Emmaus or the road to Mechanicsburg or the road to wherever we're going, we have the opportunity to be Cleopas's to the Father's glory. Bill, your seeding of this and the Spirit's work in you, when we had for several years difficulty having people respond to these opportunities, is an example of that. Listening, and how it's for the Father's glory, not to our own. The Emmaus walk ministry experience has been around for a long time. It's centered in being intentional to take time apart, to practice the presence, to break bread together, and to discover that the living Christ is with us, and he wants to do something in our lives. There's an Emmaus walk experience for men each spring. Aldersgate will underwrite that experience. And there's also an Emmaus walk ministry weekend time for ladies, for women. And that's typically in the fall. So as we invite Eric and Jason to come up and share a little bit about how God spoke to them, how God is seeking to glorify himself through their lives and today through their witness, I invite all of us to be open to the Spirit and to see where our walk with Jesus might take us. Eric, Jason?
Good morning, church. Pastor, this is a little low for me. You ever wonder what it might be like if God just plucked you up out of your everyday life and plopped you down right in front of his son, Jesus, to spend a weekend in his presence? That's exactly what happened to me in my walk to Emmaus experience the weekend of April 27th through the 30th. I was first asked to participate in the walk several months prior to the experience. After praying about it overnight, I let Mr. Brandemore know that I would be honored to attend the walk. I asked if he would please give me additional information about what's going to happen that weekend. Well, he was delighted that to hear that I would attend the walk. As far as knowing what the weekend's about, that I should just be open to what God has planned for me during that weekend. So I didn't know much about what was going to be going on. I began to pray, asking God that he would give me clarity on what he wanted me to receive during that weekend experience. As the weekend arrived and progressed, it was very evident that I was where I needed to be. This was a God-appointed experience, and he had plans of connecting me with me throughout the entire weekend. Some highlights of my experience were having 72 uninterrupted hours to examine my heart and my relationship with Christ. I usually feel like I'm doing pretty good if I get 30 minutes a day of uninterrupted devotional time. 72 hours seems like it could be quite a bit of time, but the weekend flew by. Another highlight was feeling the movement of God's presence and experiencing his agape love throughout the entire weekend. The weekend was full of praying, laughing, crying, singing, and sharing with others. It's hard not to feel the movement of the Spirit when you're engaged in all that is going on. A final highlight that I'd like to share was being able to learn from the journeys of other Christian men. We had open access to a team of clergy and lay leaders throughout the entire weekend. Being able to engage them with thoughts and feelings about topics presented over the weekend and hear real-life application of their journey is something that really touched my heart. If I had to summarize the weekend in one thought, it would be this. If you spend time to get real with God, he, in turn, will spend time to get real with you. Thank you for allowing me to share some highlights of my walk to Emmaus with you. Now, that's the end of my paper here, but I want to share one additional thing that kind of came to my mind after writing this. When we got there that weekend, we were given new best friends to get to know each other, somebody that you didn't know. My new best friend had some tough things going on before the weekend, and in the process of the weekend, he gave his life to Christ, and he wanted the life that the other men were showing that weekend. And the entire group, the entire community there rejoiced in him in wanting to do that. And it was just an awesome thing. And if I didn't include that in one of my highlights, I mean, that was a super highlight of the entire weekend. So I just wanted to share that with you in the body of Christ. Thank you.
I should say that Eric and I knew that we were doing this today, but neither one of us rehearsed this nor knew what the other was going to say. So there's probably going to be a little bit of overlap here, so just bear with me. But first of all, I want to say that God has been very, very good to me in my life, and this is just another example of that, but I would like to share my Emmaus Walk experience with you here this morning. I was approached by, I'll call him Bill Brandemore, a couple months before the walk that occurred in April, and he said that he was praying for individuals to come to mind to attend this walk, and somehow my name appeared to him. So I was very humbled by that, and he asked if I was interested in attending the Emmaus Walk. So I asked him, hey, what's this all about? And Bill kept it very general and said, hey, it's a mountaintop. It was a mountaintop experience for him when he got to do it, and he wanted me to experience God's love in new ways. He went on to tell me that it started on Thursday evening, April 27th, and went through Sunday, April 30th, and the walk was held in Milroy, Pennsylvania. And then he left me with, hey, pray about it, gave me a little piece of literature to read about the Emmaus Walk, but the literature didn't provide really any details. No, I was looking for a schedule of events. I wanted to know, hey, what are we doing from the time we get there to the time we leave, and that's what I was focused on. But I did, I prayed about attending and was assured that I was called to attend the Emmaus Walk to find out what God was up to in my life. So I was forced to say yes, and I did say yes. However, not knowing any of the details of what the weekend would look like, I couldn't help what the weather would be like in late April in Milroy and whether I would need new hiking boots or new apparel for this walk. I didn't realize at that point that the Emmaus Walk wasn't a physical walk, so shame on me, but it was a spiritual walk instead. The four guys from Aldersgate, Eric, Todd, Joe, and myself, met as a group prior to the walk to learn a little bit more about these details pertaining to the walk and what the weekend would look like. And this is what we learned, that our families would be taken care of while we were away, and we shouldn't worry about them during our time away. We learned that cell phones and technology are discouraged, or rather, we should just leave them at home. And we learned that the walk would consist of a series of talks, with each one building upon the previous. However, we still didn't have that schedule of events that I was yearning for. And when we asked what the schedule would look like, we were just said, don't worry about it, but just participate in the weekend. And also, I'll reiterate what Troy had said. There's a men's and a women's walk that are separate times of the year. They're not together. And you only get to do the Emmaus Walk one time. You get to walk one time. So for me, leading up to the walk, the weeks and months prior, I was focused on what was going on in my life. I was doing things my way, depending on myself to get through the day and what I needed to do. Now, don't get me wrong, I would still pray and give glory to God, but really only when it was convenient. And I was guilty of putting God on the back burner leading up to our walk. I also didn't understand why I couldn't contact my family while I was at the Emmaus Walk. That's just something I don't do. I'm always in contact with my wife and kids if I'm out of town, for whether it's work or personal, where the kids aren't along or my wife's not along, I'm always in contact with them. So I struggled with not being able to contact them. And I didn't understand why there wasn't a schedule, but the thing is, I was mainly concerned about what time I would be home on Sunday so that I could figure out how much of my agenda I would complete before I had to go back to work on Monday. Because doggone it, I didn't want this walk to interfere with the work I wanted to accomplish that weekend. But on Thursday, as we were getting ready to leave for the walk, God, he changed my point of view, and I was able to start the walk with an open mind and open heart to explore what God was up to in my life. And as far as the actual walk goes, I can't give too many details of the inner workings of the Emmaus walk, because the events of that walk, although they're by no means a secret, they are meant to be a surprise to the men and women that are participating in their one and only walk. What I can tell you is that the talks over the course of the weekend are amazing and meaningful. The camaraderie in the small groups and in the large groups settings at mealtimes and in the cabins are completely energizing. I didn't know the majority of the men on this walk, but I felt like we were all lifelong friends. The Holy Spirit was definitely at work there, in me, and I believe in everybody else that attended this walk. I saw a man accept Christ as his Savior and dedicate his life to Christ while on the walk. What a special gift that was to experience firsthand. I saw men hugging each other and crying with each other as we openly shared our lives, our pain, our problems, our transgressions, our joys, and triumphs with each other. The agape love that was poured out to each of us was unbelievable. Everywhere we went, we were showered with agape. We were engulfed, entrenched, surrounded, I'm not sure the right word to use there, in God's love the entire weekend, and what a blessing that was. So this is how I want to tell you the walk affected me. It taught me that every day is a gift from God, and I need to honor him in using the gifts he has given me to do his work here on earth, because he loves me regardless of what I do or what I've done. I realized that I wasn't being the father that our father wanted me to be to our boys. I have two boys, 4-year-old Gabe and 8-year-old Joshua. And that I also wasn't being the husband he wanted me to be to my wife. God spoke to me while I was there and told me that he desired that I be a spiritual leader in our household in order for me to be the father and the husband that he wanted me to be. I needed to be mindful of him, not on a when I need him basis or when it was convenient, but continually as I go throughout my day. Consequently, as a result of this walk, I have been very consistent and very diligent with being in the Word on a daily basis. And I've seen how that's affected my life. Now, by no means do I have this all figured out, or am I perfect. I still have lots of issues, because there's days where I'll be in the Word, but I'm just kind of going through the motions. So I'm still struggling with that, but I'm a work in progress. So, but anyhow, the way I've seen it affect my life is that my interactions with friends, family, and strangers are different now. My attitude has improved, and things that used to get me angry or upset don't necessarily anger me anymore. I still get upset, don't get me wrong, but I don't carry that anger with me for an extended time. I can give it away much more easily. I've learned to seek God's wisdom in my life, and that has helped me be able to see God's agenda for my life more clearly, and it's helped me focus on that instead of my own agenda. That is difficult for me, but again, I'm a work in progress. And lastly, going through this spiritual walk has completely renewed my prayer life. I find myself praying before a meeting at work or before handling a situation at home and asking God for guidance in that situation. Prior to that, I typically would have just done this all on my own. So my takeaway from this walk is that the Emmaus walk is a unique way to connect with God on a different level and to see his love for 3 straight days. Obviously, it's not the only way to connect to God's love, but for me, the Emmaus walk was a wonderful experience that I will remember and fall back on for a long while. And I hope that if given the opportunity to one of you to attend the walk and participate, I do hope that you jump on it. So thank you.
One of One of the key characteristics that I've learned Jason has at his core is humility. And his comment there near the end was very profound, that the Emmaus walk for him was very key and instrumental, but he also said, but it's not the only way. And one of the dangers is when we have a spiritual experience that we think that other people have to do what we've done or what we've experienced, and that's not how the gospel or the Holy Spirit works. The good news is the Spirit meets us wherever we are. But that said, we wanted to lift up this movement because this is pretty significant, to go from zero year after year of people from Aldersgate being part of this to suddenly four. That's a pretty significant increase. And then to have Eric and Jason desiring and being willing to offer witness is pretty key too. So as you hear that today and as you think about that as you go from here, regardless of where you are in the journey, regardless of your age, if the Spirit's speaking to you, Bill is a key guy to see, or contact the office or reach out to me. We will do whatever we can to make it possible for you to be part of that. Thursday night through most of Sunday is a long time. These guys, relatively young guys, with sons at home, made that time. That's sacrificial. That's significant, just to say yes to that. As you go from here this day, consider how God is calling you and me to be Cleopas's, to the Father's glory. As they were near the village they were going, Jesus walked ahead as though he were going on. And in that key moment, they urged him to stay. Their experience with him really rested on them having an opening in their spirit and saying, hey, what? Can you stay longer? Can we tarry together longer? And that's when he went in and they had fellowship together and they knew it was him. The Emmaus walk and road is the experience of anyone ongoing in Christ. We should be able, through our journey, to be able to stop and say, wow, he met us there. Wasn't my heart burning there? The Spirit seeking to speak and intercede. It's the story of resurrection. And the resurrecting Christ is still with us. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, as we prepare to move from here, you've given us a witness. We thank you for Eric and Jason and for their sharing. We thank you for the Emmaus Walk ministry and experience. And I just pray, God, that if there's someone here within this gathering at this 8 o'clock worship, or some ones that you would like to spend that type of time with, and you're speaking to them, Lord, speak deeply and give us a desire to ask you to tarry with us. Make a way for us, Lord, because your Holy Spirit's already with us. And oftentimes we're talking about you, we're listing the work that we do in your behalf, and yet we're oblivious to or we're ignorant of your presence. Speak to us, Lord. Speak boldly in ways we can hear your still small voice. We again thank you for the way you've witnessed to us this morning and through stirring in Bill's heart, and how that has led to hearts and lives and households and work contexts being viewed differently as Eric and Jason call upon you in prayer and seek to commit themselves to you in that daily walk. Lord, send us from here with your blessing. Make your face to shine upon us. Be gracious to us. Lift up your face on each of us and help us to know that you are there in every ordinary moment this week. And give us the good wisdom to call upon your name, to want to spend time with you, and to be awakened to your goodness and your holy purpose. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as able.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun
I'm not afraid to die.
worship your holy.